Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live.
The Gary Parrish Show is live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studio.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
He is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. Nation's leading authority in hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns. The legend Keith Easterwood making the big interview.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
He ran.
Yep.
Die, Brad. Die.
Local basketball expert talking hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns on 92.9's Gary Parrish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Let me ask you, sincerely, how are you doing? Because you obviously weren't here the past couple weeks, which is totally okay and cool. But because of your absence, people ask me all the time, how is Easterwood doing? So I'll ask you, how are you doing?
I'm doing better today. Take it day by day. I did go back to him. I know that night I texted you. I'm like, I ain't taking this damn medicine, and I'm not going to the doctor no more. Of course, I had a liquid bravery in me, but and then my wife got on my ass. So I'm doing better. This is a day by day deal, and some days you go. So today I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm okay. Just take it a day at a time. I mean, I'm blessed. My friend of my wife, she's 42. I'm 58. I think that's right. 44. Hell, he had a heart attack last night at 42. So nothing's promised to you. So we're enjoying every day. We moved into a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house for 2 people, which is so stupid. But anyway, here we are. I want to make her happy. So a couple things I want to talk about, if you don't mind. But I am doing good. A lot of people reached out to me. I appreciate it. Prayers and all that. And I need all the help I can get. But I watched Doc's interview with James Wiseman. Did you see it?
I have not seen that, no.
Man, fascinating. Doc did a great job. And Doc tried to get in the sign with Memphis, but the kid is so smart. He speaks Mandarin Chinese fluently. I know his mom's real close with him and all that. And so if they're listening, this is what I say to good Memphis players. If Kentucky is a 13-hour round-trip drive, so on Monday night, if Kentucky's playing whoever, and I don't know their situation, they may be financially able. I've had kids play for me whose daddies had private planes, who didn't have a job or who whatever, or all points in between. But to me, because he has a relationship with Dandridge, with Lomax, with Penny, imagine the mom goes to the FedEx Forum on Monday, maybe a 20-minute ride from her home, probably going to get front, second-row seats. The game ends, you can hang around, hug and kiss your baby, maybe give him $20, maybe take him to dinner, make him take him home with you. And you can see more games that way, unless you're financially able to travel to every Kentucky basketball game, including the 13-hour round trip to Lexington. And so I try to tell kids, your parents have been there for you and probably watched you play since you were 6. And if you put yourself in a situation to where they can't watch you play, you're inflicting a lot of pain on them. I know they're going to do what they got to do to get a chance to watch you play, but I know kids who have left Memphis and their family members maybe only got to watch them play 3 or 4 times a year. So to me, and I'm sure Penny and Madlock and Mike Miller and them are going to let her know that too, but to me, listening to him, he's a one and done. If he reclassifies, which I don't know if he's going to do that or not, I have no insight, but at worst, he's 2 years away from being a millionaire.
Right.
And he's so geary. This kid is so, listen, you know, back in the day, they would say, oh, white kids are intelligent and black kids are athletic. Well, that day is gone out the door, Doc. This kid, I mean, I listened to him. He reminded me of Andre Hollins. He reminded me of Jonathan Ball. I mean, some of the more intelligent, articulate kids. And then when he busted out Mandarin Chinese, I didn't even know that was a language. And then he explained what he said. I mean, He's had a good run with the Nike EYBL. Some of the Nike guys have fallen with the recruiting service, and I try to follow people who will be critical, not overly positive. But that's my pitch, and I'm sure that's going to be Penny and the staff's pitch. Why make – and I don't know how far it is to drive to Lawrence, Kansas. I know to drive to North Carolina because I made it over that mountain. That's a hell of a drive, unless you're able to afford to fly. And back in the day, a guy like Wiseman – I talked to a college coach about this today – everything for her could have and would have been took care of, her travel, her hotel, and everything. But because of the current situation in college basketball, that ain't gonna happen.
Well, that is the other thing. I don't want to speak about James specifically because I don't want to imply anything. But I can just say that in recent years, if not recent decades, a player of his caliber. If the parents needed to get somewhere one way or another, they would get there. It's always funny to me, like these neutral court events, neutral site events. So like Champions Classic in Chicago or Champions Classic in New York or CBS Sports Classic in Las Vegas. It's you know, we know because we know these young people's stories that they often come from, a less than ideal background. Like, they didn't grow up on the street I live or the street but man, somehow their parents are there in Las Vegas.
there's been
Memphis players. I think everybody will know one player's mother who was like at every road game. Like, how was she at every road game?
And I know who you're talking about, but there is. Because you can't track this, really. So rather than buy somebody a ticket and put them on a Southwest plane, you can put them on a private plane. Because donors, boosters, agents, they have access to that. But again, those days are gone. And that lady you're talking about, she actually put a picture on Facebook where she was staying at an agent's apartment in New York, which was quickly taken down.
Right.
And people do stupid stuff because they don't think of the ramifications. But with him being the number one player, he's under scrutiny. The people that are already around are under scrutiny. And to me, logically, sometimes logic goes out the window in recruitment, it makes sense to stay here. She don't have to uproot. She don't have to do all the traveling. And the NCAA is watching more stuff. And so, like you said, now if you start popping up to all these events, they're wondering, how did you get to New York, to California, to Florida, or Puerto Rico? So that's my take on it. That's my two cents when I listen to him. Again, you know, Andy Kennedy used to say, especially he recruited some guys in Memphis and one particular guy we know, and he tried to tell the guy around him, think long-term, not short-term. Of course, he thought short-term to get a little money in his pocket. But in 2 years, whatever her situation is, they're going to all be millionaires. And if you watch on TV, I mean, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, these are guys I had the pleasure to coach against, and quite a few guys in that series, but their moms are with them. You know, Durant's mom's his manager. Draymond's mom, not going to let nobody get over on him. So, you know, Ms. Wiseman, if you listen and you're 2 years away from changing your whole life, you can do it easier to me at Memphis. And I think when they see what's going to happen with Penny Mania this year, I'm hoping and praying they want to be part of it.
Talking to Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on Twitter at Easterwood Keith. To your point about in a couple of years, he's going to be a multimillionaire. At this point, he's projected as the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft. That number one pick, it's a 2-year guaranteed contract with a 3rd-year team option that is always going to be picked up on the number one pick in the draft, even if he's a bust. So it's basically a total of $26-27 million dollars guaranteed. That's just off those 3 years. And that's if you're the first pick. There's no way he's going to go, I mean, barring injury, any lower than he's worth at least $15 million in a couple of years, no matter, really, as long as he doesn't get hurt in the next couple of years. And so.
And here, I mentioned how articulate he is because he'll be a guy that will promote products because he's not a yeah and a huh. And all that guy, he looks you in the eye, he's got a great smile. He will be a guy who will make money off endorsements, and I've been around this game too long not to know this. So whatever city he's going to go to, they're going to fall in love, and he'll make a lot of money off the court.
And it's I think you'll agree with this. It's, and I know Wiseman isn't a, quote, Memphis kid, but there was a time when a lot of the better prospects that came through this city weren't properly educated. Like, they weren't, right. They couldn't qualify out of high school. And right. And yet now, like, the group of guys who have come through, like, Alex Lomax is an impressive young man. Tyler yeah. Harris is an impressive young man. James Wiseman yes. is an impressive young man. It really has changed in that regard, which I think is a testament to the school system, to the parents involved, and maybe just the way things have changed in general. But it used to get so frustrating because you would watch, you know, quote-unquote Memphis kids.
Have, I coached them.
Yeah, you coached. You were right. with a lot of them. Who had all of the ability in the world to get a free education and maybe make money playing this sport, and they couldn't get into school because nobody was guiding them in any way whatsoever. The angriest I ever got was when Andre Allen didn't qualify out of high school to be a Division I student athlete, and the reason he didn't qualify, I believe, wasn't because of a standardized test. It was because of his core classes. In other words,
which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous because he was identified as a Division I student athlete
way early,
at
yeah.
the age of 13.
Right. Yeah.
He was the,
yeah.
he was by one publication rated the number one high the number one 13-year-old basketball player in America at that age. Now the problem is he was a 5'7" 13-year-old point guard,
right.
and then he was a 5'7" 18-year-old point guard. He just never grew.
Right.
But
right.
when you can,
he was a bad little booger though.
He was bad. Mm-hmm. But when
that
you,
was my guy.
But
that
when
was my guy.
When you are identified in that way. And the adults in your school system aren't setting you
right.
up to succeed. That is shameful. And my larger point isn't to punch on BTW from 15 years ago as much as it's to point out that that doesn't seem to be near as much of a problem today with quote unquote Memphis kids, which is awesome.
Yeah, no. Early on, 100 years ago, when I was doing radio by myself. It was killing me because we went a wave of, like you say, 4 or 5 years, and guys just weren't qualifying. And then it, you know, Leslie McDonald goes to Briarcrest,
right.
and things started changing. And I've told this before, and it's worth telling again because hopefully every 15 minutes you got a different audience. But, you know, Sean Williams, God bless him, we're coming back from North Carolina, and he's laid long way in the van, his legs under the bench seats, and his head's like right next to me and my assistant. He sits up at 3 o'clock in the morning, says, "Man, I got a letter the other day. I made a 17 on the ACT. Everybody in the van's like, ooh, and rocking the van. And when he got quiet, he said, "Man, I ain't never took the ACT."
Oh, right? No.
Right? but even Sean is a great example of this. He needed a year of prep school. You know,
right.
He had to go to Lawrenceburg.
He had the ACT score. He didn't have the core.
Right. And then you look up, and Elliot Williams is at a private school. Leslie McDonald's at a private school. Scal was obviously at a private school. I remember the John Calipari's staff. I don't want to say exactly which staff member, but we were having this discussion because it went through a stretch when, you know, like, you know, Pierre was an academic question mark. Pierre Niles, Andre Allen couldn't qualify. Sean Williams didn't qualify, and countless others. Well, like what?
Wayne Chisholm shouldn't have qualified.
Right. Well, how about that? Quintel Woods had to go to junior college because
yeah.
he couldn't qualify.
Tim Cole.
Right. Like all these. From Melrose, Chris Jones had to go.
Right.
Couldn't qualify.
Right.
So Elliot Williams goes to private school. Like it became a little bit of a trend. These kids were getting into better schools, or they were being better guided. And a member of John Calipari's staff said, because we were talking about this, he said, "It is the best thing that ever happened to these kids that their parents are able to get them, or somebody's getting them in these better institutions because it's giving them an opportunity to be what they ought to be." He said, "It's awesome for the kid. It's bad for us." He was like, "Because
he said
because now." A player like Leslie McDonald, who is an academic question mark, is not being recruited by Duke or North Carolina. So we don't have to deal with Duke or North Carolina. But now it's private school kid with the talent of Leslie McDonald. Now we got to fight with North Carolina. Elliot Williams, private school kid with the talent of Elliot Williams. Now we got to fight with Duke. So the North Carolinas and Dukes didn't used to come in here, but now they were coming in. And the point was, this is good for the kids, but bad for Memphis. But I think all of that's a wash now because of Penny's connections within the market. It doesn't matter where these kids come from. He's going to have a really good chance to get them, no matter who he's recruiting against.
Yeah, two things. Krzyzewski comes in and has a chauffeur to see Elliot Williams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He drives him to Briarcrest.
No, I think that was a Johnny – I think it was Johnny Dawkins' story.
Right.
I think it was Johnny Dawkins. Like, I believe this is a true story.
It might have been Johnny, but it
say
it
that again.
Okay,
just drove him straight over to Briarcrest.
So
to see Elliot Williams.
So I think Leslie and Elliot were both in high school at the same time.
Okay,
yeah,
one
yeah.
ends up going to Duke. One ends up going to North Carolina. As the story goes, I can't vouch for the story. It's just something I was told one time.
Yeah, hey, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
When you go to live events in April and July,
right?
And the NCAA mandates this, and again. You know, you don't see it, and coaches don't see it. You have to take, before you can play a game, they have all these sessions of academic advisory for teams. And you go in, and they start talking about core, where you need to be right now, whatever grade you're in. They talk about ACT. They talk about sliding scale. They'll show some highlights basketball to keep their attention. They'll repeat it and repeat it. So if you played in live events from the ninth grade on, or even the eighth grade on, you have seen these different academic advisory videos have to be 100 times. So the kids are being told, hey, this is what you have to have. So go to your guidance counselor, let your parents know, this is when you can take the ACT, start taking it early, blah, blah, blah. So the NCAA has done a good thing in making event operators have that class for every team, whether it's in Vegas, Orlando, AAU, Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, or whatever. And so, to me, I think that's helped the landscape also.
Talking to Keith Eastwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN, just to circle back to that, as the story goes, Johnny Dawkins is in town, and they're recruiting. I think they might have been recruiting both Leslie McDonald and Elliot Williams. But, again, who knows? But this is the story.
But he went to Briarcrest and asked for Elliot, okay?
Yes, went to Briarcrest.
I was told that from the horse's mouth.
And he goes to Briarcrest.
Right.
And he's like, I'm here to see Elliot Williams.
Okay.
They're like, we don't have an Elliot Williams. Like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Sure you do.
Sure you do. They're like, right. you're at Briarcrest High School. Elliot Williams goes to St. George's. He's like, oh, okay.
So funny.
Like, just ended up at the wrong school. So, but it
they're all on the
out.
Same road.
They still got him somehow, at least for a year, right? Mm. At least for a year.
Yeah. Then John leaves and he comes back.
Right. talking to Keith Easterwood here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, we'll circle back to James Wiseman because you brought him up at the beginning. It's obviously going to go in, I would assume, into the early signing period, and then he'll have an announcement. It'll at least go through July. Do you give Memphis a realistic shot to get him? They're going to be in there, and they're going to finish first or second. Do you think first-year head coach Penny Hardaway can beat John Calipari, widely regarded to be the greatest recruiter of student-athletes ever, for the number one prospect in America?
Gary, I've got a circle of, including some of the Memphis staff, of about 10 college coaches that have stayed in touch with me because we've been friends. Some of them, and I mentioned Stan Jones, for instance, and Stan wasn't part of this conversation, but the guys that I talked to at first were like, they're not getting him. Cal's going to get him. And so, and they went from Question and Penny. Now they look at the staff, and if they bring on this next assistant that we think, everybody thinks that's one of the better staffs in the country. Penny's going to get players. And look, there was a picture of him today somewhere. I don't know, Facebook or Twitter. I mean, the swag he wears, if you don't think that speaks to kids, you know, Shaka can go wear orange shoes and Cal can wear a blue polo. And you see him on the road. Certain guys wear some bright colored either shoes or shirt or something to draw attention like Dan Mullen in Florida does. Penny is taking this stuff to another level. And so, yeah, I went from wondering from – I try to get opinions from college coaches to bring here for the people listening. So I really give Memphis a viable chance, and I know everybody else is going to, you know, make a run. You mentioned North Carolina and Kansas. But and I don't know the mama situation, but if you want to drive 13 hours round trip in one day to watch the kid play, that's on you. God bless you. But you can get the same thing here that you can get there. You're playing in the NBA arena. You're going to be around NBA people. So, yeah, I think they got a chance. Two things real quick. The NBA is certified. Dino Tregonis' Pangos camp out in California is the first time they've ever done that, because you know yourself, in the past, they weren't allowed to go to AAU games or high school games unless their kids were playing. They have certified this event because of the quality of players, where their coaches can go and evaluate these high school kids, which leads me to believe the one and done, they're laying the foundation for the one and done to go out the window. I hope it does. And then two things real quick. If your kid plays AAU ball and you're asked to run the damn clock or the book, do it. If an event operator has to pay $10 to each and $35 a referee, that's $90 a game. Do the math on the number of games, and it gets kind of pricey. You don't have to do it at Nike, Under Armour, or Adidas. But if you're asked to do that, that's a small thing to do, is to keep a book or run a clock. A lot of event operators request that teams do that until the semifinals or finals, so nobody cheats, because people will do that. But I just throw that out there because I've seen it on Twitter a lot. Coaches are having trouble getting parents to do that. I always tried to set it up before we got there. Hey, Gary, will you run the book? Brad, will you run the clock? But if your kid is playing, you paid $5 to get in. I mean, to me, I would rather sit at the table and be involved in the action anyway. But if you're doing AAU basketball, or your kid is, help your coach out the best way you can. Take Gatorade to practice, whatever. But running that clock and running that book is really a big deal in terms of running that ball game.
That is Keith Easterwood. He's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. Nation's leading authority, Hobos, Heroes, and Street Corner Clowns. It's great to have you back here. I'm glad you're feeling better. I love you, brother. I'll see you soon.
And Sam Sausage
Heads. And Sam Sausage Heads. I'll see you.
Hey, shout out to Leon.
Shout out to Leon. I'll see you, baby.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.